listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon, and we greet and welcome all of you wherever you are. If you're out in your car listening on the radio, if you're at home listening, if you're on the internet, wherever you're at, we just greet you and welcome to our program. And we're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 in the afternoon. And you heard the intro. It's called Raising the Standard, and that's what we do. We're looking at some of the things through Jewish eyes and the Hebrewism and the Scriptures to give us an understanding in a deeper realm than ever before about what God wants us to know. And so we've said this many times in this program. We've been robbed of our Jewish roots that happened way back around 325 AD and what happened back in that time with Constantine and all that. But we've been robbed of all this, but thank God in the last few years especially, we're seeing an increase in teaching about the Hebraic understanding of the Word of God and looking at some of the deep things that God has for us with knowing the Judaism behind it. And so we've studied this for a lot of years, and so we're honored to do this with you on the program. And we're going to talk about something here today a little bit. I think it's kind of interesting about the number 7 and how important it is. And wondering, well, I was thinking this week, why did God choose 7 years for Jacob's trouble? We're going to look at some things in the Bible. We might see what God's understanding was that He wanted to show you and I to teach us about the Messiah. And so I hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. Don and I co-pastor a church here in Stewart. We have for, 22 plus years. And God gave us the name way back from Revelation 19:10. What did He give us there, Pastor Donna?
For the radio station?
No.
Oh, for the church.
We know our program's called Raising the Name that He gave us way back 22 years ago.
Spirit of Prophecy Ministries.
It's a wonderful
Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And the Lord gave that to you prophetically. But it comes out of the book of Revelation, which says, worship God. That's the key thing right there.
That's right.
See, that's what God was telling us right from the beginning. Worship me. Worship God. Mm-hmm. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Hallelujah.
And you said what you're talking about the Jewish roots. So, you know, we've just barely touched the surface.
There's so much more.
And
in
there's
your
so
life.
Much more that oh, there's yeah. so much we don't know. But God
we're
is
learning more all the time,
people,
aren't we?
Every day, you know, not only through this ministry, but through other ministries that you can see, you can watch on TV, you can see in different places on the internet. Just do a search.
That's
right. More and more people are interested in knowing the Jewish roots, or I'd like to say the roots of our ancestors, amen,
mm-hmm.
back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because we have the promises. We have been given the mm-hmm. promises. We are grafted in. So we've just barely touched the surface. And God is actually, when you're hungry and you're seeking and you're knowing, you're knocking, you know, Jesus says He's going to speak to us. He's going to He's going to show us these mysteries, these hidden things,
and these really, treasures. They're really not Jewish roots. They're God's roots, aren't they?
They're God's. That's right. And the feast of the Lord.
People,
the feast of, it doesn't say the feast of the Jews. It says the feast of the Lord.
Of the Lord.
And it says that in the Bible. It says the feast of Yod Heh Vav Heh, the
right.
feast of the Lord,
Hallelujah.
God Almighty. And so it's for all people who will come to God, who
that's
will
right.
come to God through Jesus Christ. Amen. So that's
right.
that's the answer.
That's why I titled my book, I wrote, God's Prophetic Calendar, Pictures of the Messiah's Revealed in what? In the Lord's Appointed Times and all.
The Lord's Appointed Times.
That's all about.
And the Lord's timing and the Lord's calendar.
Is perfect, yes.
Yes. I mean, you know, we should know that, be seeing the times of the seasons. And we
that's
can
right.
see that there's four tetrad moons, and they're all on the feast,
times.
The appointed times of the Lord, the feast of the Lord. So there's signs in the heavens, and Jesus said there would be signs in the
That's
heavens.
Right.
Amen. Well, I want to mention also that we have church services here in Stuart,
mm-hmm.
Florida, and we have a Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We come to what? Worship God.
God.
Amen.
The testimony of Yeshua is what? The spirit of prophecy.
That's right. That's right. And so we're here in Stuart, and it's at 10 o'clock in the morning, and then on Friday nights we get together, and we have a service, our meeting with God.
Our Shabbat
service, and that's at 7 p.m. Friday evening. And then, well, on Thursday we pray. Somebody'd like to pray with us, we pray Thursday at 12 noon, at the Alliance Church in Stuart, Florida. And that's not where we have our services, but that's where we pray on Thursday. So with Pastor
Jim Brocious
and his church.
Wonderful group of people.
Yes, good people. Praise
yes.
God. And so then also on Saturday, we come together and we have at 4 o'clock. And then we have a teaching or a video. And then after that, we have our little meal, little dinner. And we close the Shabbat.
Shabbat.
We close out the Shabbat with the Shabbat prayers. And so, what are we going to do?
So we could tell everybody right now, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
What's
yes,
that mean?
We can.
And what's that mean?
It means Sabbath peace.
Sabbath peace. That's
God,
what we
God
want.
God wants us to have Sabbath peace. Shalom means not just peace, but it means to have be whole, have
that's
wholeness.
Right. And God told us in the beginning to remember that day, didn't he? The
remember
Sabbath.
The day, and that's right, not to forget it. He told Moses right there in the law, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Well, the Sabbath was started way back when.
That's right.
When
it's
God,
not on a Sunday.
When God created Adam and Eve. No,
that's
it's
right.
the seventh day. And God doesn't change numbers. The seventh day is the seventh day. So we are to remember the Sabbath, but we don't do it legalistically or we don't do it religiously. We do it because
we love God.
We love God.
It comes
and it's
out
in
of our
heart. And God gives us a promise for remembering the Sabbath, for honoring the Sabbath.
And we can remember different ways, can't we?
It's a separate day. It's
that's
a day
right.
set aside. It's a holy day, and we're going to talk about the number seven. So you will see the holiness of God in the seventh day. You know, God rested on the seventh day.
Sure
he
did.
Didn't have to rest.
He
chose to
He wasn't
to rest.
Tired, yeah.
No, he rested, but he rested on seventh day. He made an example. See, Jesus is our example.
Absolutely.
You know, Jesus rested every Sabbath day.
He sure did.
You know, and he also did things on the Sabbath.
And he was accused of doing all kinds of things he shouldn't have been doing.
Right. But, you know, so we have to, what does rest mean? What's it mean to rest on the Sabbath?
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean just to lay down and maybe do nothing. No,
right.
it doesn't. But he wants to give us a spiritual rest.
But see, the leaders try to tell him what? He did a lot of things on the Sabbath that they said he shouldn't be doing.
Healing the sick.
But he was telling them that that's a bunch of legalism, all right,
mm-hmm.
that you can do those things, and it's a day of rest. And if somebody was sick or something, you could take care of them, you could pray for them, you could
mm-hmm.
do a lot of things, you know. And so he really got on about their legalistic aspects of all the appointed times, but especially the Sabbath, you know. And we have the church today in a lot of arena in that way. You know, they don't want to talk about the Sabbath. Well, we should always remember that, and maybe we don't necessarily do all the things that the Jewish people do on the Sabbath, but it's a thought to remember. It's a day that God gave us to rest, right, Pastor Don?
And the Sabbath wasn't changed to Sunday
sure
because
wasn't.
Jesus rose on a Sunday, and yes, we believe that.
That's right.
But if that's the day he rose, that's the beginning of the week, and that would actually be the eighth day.
That's right. That's
or the first day.
And showing a new
the
beginning.
Eighth day, showing a new beginning.
When he came out of the grave, that's right.
Right. So you count seven, and then you have to start another week.
That's it.
But if you were to continue counting, it would be eight.
Right.
And eight is the number of new beginnings. Well, Jesus showed us a new way. a new way. And it wasn't through, and because he became the final sacrifice, and so he's that living sacrifice.
Absolutely.
So there's no more of
Thank
killing
you,
of animals to atone for your sin.
Are we glad?
Praise God. Amen.
Yes, are we
so
glad?
It was his blood once and for all. And praise God. So I want to mention also that we have, I'm going to give the telephone number
okay.
in case you'd like to call and to get find out more information
you
about
want a free calendar?
Spirit of Prophecy Ministry, or you'd like to have a free calendar, which has the Jewish calendar on it as well. And we need to know the Jewish calendar, just like you have in your commentary.
Amen.
The very first lesson is on the calendar. And so we need to know how God's calendar works. You know, there's been a lot of calendars come out down through
the
ages.
Yeah, there has been, yeah.
But there's still only one calendar that God works through, even when we go and we look and see at the end times in the book of Revelation. There's only one calendar, and it's his calendar. It's the same calendar that he had when he started.
And it's always been a lunar calendar.
It's always been a lunar calendar.
A solar calendar.
That's right. The first day of the month is always on a new moon.
That's right.
That's why they were looking for a new moon every single month. Mm-hmm. You know, new beginnings.
That's right.
Well, I'm going to give the phone number now.
Okay.
It's area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007.
That's good. So we thought we'd talk a little bit about these sevens today. And I was thinking about
007.
007 is our phone number. But I was thinking about this stuff quite a bit this week and read a little bit in the morning and all that and thinking about it, about how important the number seven is with God. You know, the 7 days is a day of rest, isn't it? And all this. We see all this. And Jesus rose as Donna said, there was an eighth day, it'd be the eighth day, but it was right after the seventh day when something, a new beginning came. We see all this. We see Jacob's trouble. We're going to talk about that. It's going to be for what? 7 years on a lunar calendar. It's incredible.
And so, how many feasts are there of the
there's
Lord?
There's seven primary feasts that God put in place. There's a reason for all that. And so if we look at it, we can see God's trying to teach us something. It's his perfect number of completeness. So I thought about this.
God likes that number.
So I thought, well, Lord, what do we have for a good pattern in the Word of God that would show us something about this time called Jacob's trouble, the tribulation period everybody calls it. And the Bible mentions tribulation also. So I want to go over to Genesis 29 with you. Let's look at this. Let's see
even we're talking about the year of Jubilee.
Sure.
That has to be seven sevens.
That's right.
Seven. God does not just only do things in 1 7, but he does things in multiples of 7.
Right.
3 times 7,
That's right.
Multiples of 7. 7 times 7.
So you take that, and that's 49 years, and you add 1 year, what do you have? You have the Jubilee.
Jubilee.
Well, I'm going to go over here to Genesis chapter 29.
And I believe this coming year is a Jubilee.
Right.
It will be the beginning of a Jubilee.
Right. I'm going to go over here to Genesis 29, and this is when we see the event that happened with Rachel and Jacob, and when he wanted Rachel as a wife. So I'm not going through and teach all of this, but I just want to show you one key thing. We're going to start in verse 21. Let's read some scripture here out of the King James. And you know, we have to base everything on what? On context. We want to see what's being said here. But this is very prophetic to the future. I'd like to talk about the whole chapter, but there's so much more in it. But I want to just key in on this. Verse 21 says, "And Jacob said unto Laban," who was Laban? It was his uncle, wasn't it? "Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her." Now, he says, "Give me my wife." Well, we know that Israel was always called what? God's wife. And Jacob here, well, later on, his name's changed to what? To Israel. Now, let's go on. "And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid, for a handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah, and he said to Laban, What is this thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, It must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn." Well, the firstborn is a picture, a pattern here, prophetically, what? Of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then 27, he says this. This is where we're going to stop. "Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve me yet 7 other years. So he got both of them, but he had to serve another 7 years to fulfill Leah's week, okay? And so a week of years is what? Each day represents 1 year. So this was a period of 7 years. So she declared that right now. What did it say right
now? That's right. And it says over there in verse 19 that he worked for for Rachel for 7 years.
That's right.
He worked for her for 7 years, and so really he had promised him
Rachel.
That's right. Well, probably in his hopes, the father in Laban's hopes that Leah probably would have gotten married before those 7 years came, but he had to fulfill the law.
That's right.
And so he actually tricked Jacob.
Sure did.
And he deceived him. And he said, well, because she had to be the first one to get married, Leah did. And like you said, she represents the church. And,
that's right.
And so, you know, a lot of times we don't see things until we come prophetically, anyway, till we come down to so many years. Mm-hmm. And we see that, you know, Jesus came for his own, for Amen. The Jews. They rejected him. Well, some of them believed in him and became born again, but on the whole they rejected him.
That's right.
And who started beginning to be born again and coming into the kingdom? It was the church. So the younger became the first before the firstborn.
That's right.
So the church has come in, right. And so what? Because the church has come in, and we are to with jealousy that the Jews will see that, you know, gee whiz, they have our God. You know, they're worshiping the same God that we worship.
That's right.
Through because of Jesus Christ. And Amen. Knowing that Jesus was a Jew,
mm-hmm.
you know, they rejected him.
That's right.
But then he had her be a wife for 7 days. And like you said, each day represents
a year.
And then, so there were 7 days went by. And then he gave him Rachel. Right?
Right.
Rachel. And then he had to work another...
7 years.
Seven literal years.
That's right.
Another
7 years.
And he has two wives now.
That's right. Another week of years,
so
he's right.
So actually, you think about it, he's got two wives now. Of course, we don't believe in that nowadays, you know, but
I would say
he had double productivity.
That's right. Sure did, yeah.
And actually, Leah had more children
mm-hmm.
than
Rachel. Rachel
than
only
Rachel
had
did.
Two, and she died giving birth to the last one. But mm-hmm. the key thing is here, then Rachel is a picture of what? Of Israel.
Israel.
Okay, because she came in later. Okay.
She came in later. And so does that mean there's going to be more people who come into the kingdom that are, say, they weren't born a Jew? That's a possibility.
At the very end, who knows?
All the Gentiles that are going to come into mm-hmm. the kingdom, mm-hmm. that are going to be part of the kingdom, and then
right.
you know, the Jewish people are not going to be the majority.
Yeah. I'm always reminded what Jesus said in the Gospels. He said, the first will be last, and the last will be first. So this is a pattern of this. So we see about the 7 days representing what a period of 7 years. Now, if we go over, I'm just going to kind of go through this chronologically.
And actually, when you talk about his life, there's actually would be 3 sevens in his life.
Because
mm-hmm. then, you know, he promised him many things, but he had him, even after he had to work another 7 years
right.
for the younger one, for Rachel,
mm-hmm.
yet then he had to work another 7 years.
14 years altogether.
And right, to get all the things that he had, all the
right.
cattle and all those things.
That's right.
You know? So, you know, there's your multiple of seven.
And it says in the Bible that Laban changed Jacob's wages 10 times.
10 times.
So it was always something.
Wow.
Now I'm going to go over to Leviticus 26 with you and show you some more things about sevens, okay? This is an incredible thing we think about the seven. This is, we're going to kind of lead into why God decided and chose to have Jacob's trouble to last for this period called 7 years. But the Great Tribulation is the last 3.5. Now, we can't read this whole chapter, but I just want to show you here. God promised Israel if they disobeyed him in chapter 26, that he was going to punish them 7 times more, okay? Now, if we look at this real close, we'll see 4 times he mentioned this. Verse 18, he says this. He says, I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. That's in verse 18. If we go up here now to verse 21, he says the same thing again. 7 times more am I going to punish you, okay? We go down here now to... where was I at? Verse 28, 7 times more. So if you look at it real close, there's 4 times he mentioned if they disobey, he was going to punish them 7 times more. Now if we go over here to verse 33, listen to this now. He said, I will scatter you among the heathen. They're all over the world today because of their disobedience. And will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbath. Now I was talking about... The Day of Jubilee and all that. Well, think about it. Every 7 years, they had to rest the land. We talked about this a lot on our program, haven't we, about the Shemitah. This is the Shemitah year. So he said, then shall the land enjoy her Sabbath. And they were having to have a Sabbath rest every 7 years. As long as it lieth desolate, it says here, and ye be in your enemy's land, even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbath. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbath when you dwelt upon it. So if they fail to do that, we found out in history, if you read the Bible, that 70 times they fail to keep the Shemitah of the land. So it's every 7 years. So what do we have? 70 times 7 was what? A period of 490 years that they did not keep the Sabbath of the land. And that's how they got in deep trouble. And then God used that.
That's a lot of years. But
that's right.
But look at how God was so patient.
Sure was.
And you know, he had to wait for the time. He had to wait for the exact number of years to go by.
That's right.
You know, he could have caused things to happen before that, but he had to wait for the exact number, because God is just.
He sure is.
He's just, and you know, he has an order. He keeps his order.
All the time.
He doesn't cut his order short. He keeps his order.
That's
and
right.
So this takes us where? To the book of Daniel, doesn't it?
I'm going to go over to Daniel right now.
So now we can see, where these 490 years, how do they fit into the book of Daniel?
Well,
you can see the progression, right?
Right.
The progression from 7 to, you know, to 14. I mean, now we're talking about 490 years.
That's right. What he told him to live is Leviticus 26. Now I'm at Daniel 9. If you want to turn there, you're at home. If not, you can listen. If you'd like to get a copy of what we're teaching on today, a tape or CD, all we ask for is a love offering, and you can mail it to Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida. And, of course, the ministry name is Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida. The zip is 34995. Now, verse 24 says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Thy people means the Jewish people, and upon thy holy city, to finish what? The transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity. All three types of sins are mentioned, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. So this verse 24 here is referring to in the future, on when all this comes to an end, the transgression, the sin, and iniquity. It's on the Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. So the 70 weeks here means 70 weeks of years. So what is it? 70 times 7 is what? 490 years was this prophecy that was determined that God was going to bring. Now, if you've studied your Bible, you know that 69 weeks of this prophecy has totally been fulfilled. Well, now the 70th week has not. And this is called Jacob's trouble. Okay, it's not the church's trouble. It's called Jacob's trouble. It's for Israel. It's their time, okay? And you can read down and see what he was going to say on this, okay? And then it goes down in verse 27, the last verse in this chapter, and says, and he, this is talking about the false Messiah, shall confirm the covenant. So it means there's going to be a covenant already made, but one day it's going to be confirmed, okay? The covenant with many for 1 week. What's it? 1 week is what? A week of years, which is 7 years. And in the midst of the week, at 3.5 year point, he shall cause what? The sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So this is talked about in Matthew chapter 24, about when the abomination of desolation will appear and all that. So here's this whole picture here in Daniel chapter 9, what? About this 7 year period. Now I want to do this. I want to go back to Jeremiah with you now. You can make a left turn in your Bible. Let's go back to Jeremiah. And I believe if I wrote it down right, yeah, it's chapter 29. I was looking at this morning before we came on the radio. I just want to show you, this is very interesting what God had to say here. And it's a portion.
We're
going to go to Jeremiah chapter 29 with you.
Right there.
And I want to show you something. This is very interesting. Okay?
Thank you, Lord.
All right, where am I at here? Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm sorry, I said 29. I'm thinking about Genesis. Jeremiah 30. I'm off one book there, one chapter. Go to chapter 30, and I'm going to read verses 4 through 9 with you. Look at this. This is a prophetic word to the future if we look at this real close. But I think for ABCs, I'm going to go up and start in verse 1. It says this, and the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. This is the book we have called Jeremiah. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Now think about it. Jeremiah's day, you know, the Babylonian captivity came and all that, and this is a promise for Israel that he was going to return them back to their land, which he did. There's another returning coming right now. Many Jews are coming back to Israel right now because they know this is the safest place in the world for them to be. So this is going to have a double meaning now. Now let's go to verse 4. And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel, concerning Judah. All right. Now remember, Israel's name was changed to what? To Jacob. I mean, Jacob's name, I should say, was changed to what? To Israel. So he's talking about what? Jacob and also Judah here. Now, verse 5, for thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. And why? Because it's got shaking starting now. A lot of people, some people didn't believe that we're going in right now, and we're getting ready to go into the tribulation period. Well, we don't know, but there's going to be some shaking going on. Look at the turmoil over in Israel right now with all the things that are going on right now. Now, verse 6, he says, ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Now, men don't have children, do they? But they were travailing. It's a picture of the agony and the pain they're going to go through in this time called Jacob's trouble. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, like what, a woman delivering a child, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. They're going to turn pale, these men, because they're going to see what's going to happen, how dreadful this time will be. It's the worst time will ever be. Now, verse 7, it says this, alas, for that day is great. What? The day of the Lord? It says Jacob's trouble. So that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. So he's saying that Israel's going to, many of them are going to be saved out of Jacob's trouble. Well, we have the people teaching and talking today in the church that we're going to go through Jacob's trouble. This is not a time for you and I. You know, we're out of here. We're not going to be here when this all comes Amen. To pass. And so it tells you right here, it's a time of Jacob's trouble. It's Israel's time, but he shall be what? Saved out of it. There'll be many that will be saved at the end. Now, verse 8 says, for it, what's this? Jacob's trouble shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. Well, who is this one here where he says that I will break his yoke? Well, who's this his in this verse? It can only mean one person. It's the false Messiah, okay? He's the one that's going to come and bring great destruction during the great tribulation, which will be what? The last 3.5 years. And so we see this right here. I will break his yoke from off thy neck and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, of the false Messiah. But they shall serve the Lord, their God, and David, their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Isn't this incredible? These few verses is referring to a time called Jacob's trouble. And so we can see all the turmoil that we have over in the Middle East right now. So this is very key that we understand this. I'm tired of hearing this about that the church, the ecclesia, Jew and Gentile and Messiah, they were going to go through this terrible time. The Bible doesn't tell us that. 1 Thessalonians over there tells us the same thing, that we have not been appointed to the wrath of God. And so these sevens are so important. So Jacob's trouble is going to last how long? 7 years. But the great tribulation is what? The last 3.5 years of that time. Amen? Now let's go over to Matthew chapter 24. Let's bring it into the New Testament era. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 24.
Amen.
And we got to remember, I tell people all the time when I teach on these things, you know, we try to bring the church into a lot of this, and we can glean some things. But remember, the audience that Yeshua was speaking to was the Jewish people, his people. He was wanting them to understand what was going to happen in the last days. And so if we go over here to chapter 24 of Matthew, I'm turning over here kind of slowly, but that's all right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your holy word, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. So chapter 24 is an important chapter. And it tells us right here in verse 15, we just saw this over in Daniel 9:27 over there basically. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him what? Understand. Then let them which be in Jerusalem flee into the mountains. So he's warning them and telling them what will happen. So he gives you a few more verses describing what's going to happen. But look at verse 21. For then shall be what? Great tribulation. All right? This is referring to the last 3.5 years of a time called Jacob's trouble, not the church's trouble. Such as was not, listen to this, since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. That's how bad it's going to be those last 3.5 years. Now listen to this. And except those days should be shortened, I believe God's talking about these days being shortened to 3.5 years instead of 7. That's when it's going to be really bad. There should no flesh be saved, but the elect's sake, for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Well, who's the elect? They're the Jewish people he's speaking to right here. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is the Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect, which would be the Jewish people. He's who he was talking to. Well, we got a lot of teaching today even that might draw some believers in Christ Jesus into the wrong arena, that you're going to go halfway through Jacob's trouble. You're going to go out at pre-wrath time, or you're going to come out at the end and all that, be caught off the earth. The Bible doesn't show that to us in any way, shape, or form. So we got to believe what the Word of God said. I base everything on this marvelous book I have in my hand right here. Amen. Called the Word of God. And with this, we can't go wrong. So that's what we have to understand. And so he's warning them. Now listen to this now. Verse 25, he says this, behold, I have told you before. He says, I'm telling you before all this happens to the Jewish people. Verse 26, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert. Who? The Messiah? No, he's talking about this false. These false ones are going to come. Behold, he's in the desert. Go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers. Believe it not. So he's warning us right now. We've got so many things going on in the world. Think about in the last 50 years how many people came and claimed themselves to be the Messiah. Even the Islamic people, you know, they believe in a Mahdi that's going to be a Messiah, and they think he's greater than Yeshua the Messiah, but we're going to find out that's not true. It's all coming to a conclusion, and we've been studying about this Islamic Antichrist that's going to come. And so where would he come from? Out in the desert area. Look at the Muslims, how they live today, the majority of them. They live out in the deserts, they live in tents and all this, and broken down houses and all that. There's been no advancement hardly at all. So where are they at? They're out in the desert. So he's warning them, don't look for one to come out of the desert. He's not going to come out of the desert. Where's he going to come from? From the sky, Alpha. He's going to come back one day for all of us. Amen. And then he says, for as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Well, eagles, what? They gather, and what do they eat? They eat dead carcass, okay? So it's talking about the end of Jacob's trouble. Now look at verse 29. It tells you this. Immediately after the tribulation, okay, of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. Well, this could be referring to a solar eclipse and a lunar eclipse, huh? And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. He's talking about the tribes of Israel. Of the earth mourn. What the earth can mean also, the land of Israel. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet or a shofar. This is on the Day of Atonement. And they shall gather together his elect. The Jewish people, huh? From the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. This is on the Day of Atonement. And he tells them a parable about the fig tree and all that. And he goes into detail about how it's going to be in the days of Noah again at the end. So we have all this referring to this. And so God has established in his all-knowing a seven-year period. And like he said, his mercy and grace for Israel was to even shorten the time when it was going to be at the worst. And that would be what? For 3.5 years. So the sevens are so important, aren't they, honey? They really are. And so this is how he came up with the seven-year time called Jacob's trouble. And it is Jacob's trouble. It's not our trouble. And we can see in the book of Revelation how it all fits together. And even the lunar calendar is placed in. Because we've had people tell us, well, the lunar calendar is for the people in the first covenant. Well, no, if you read the book of Revelation, it's for us. It's what? It's the lunar calendar today. So that's what we have to go by, not by the solar calendar. See, God didn't want them to worship the sun. That's why he didn't want them to do that. Aren't you glad? He said, I want you to look at the lunar calendar. Will show you when a new moon comes. Every month will begin with a new moon and all that. And it's incredible when we see all the things that God put in place.
And so you can prove that, right, with the book of Daniel and also the book of Revelation. You can prove it.
And Genesis 8 even, yeah.
In your commentary, you have the charts, and it shows exactly, and it shows that we're on. It has to be on the
lunar calendar.
The lunar calendar.
No other way. In fact, if you read the book of Revelation real close, when it talks about the time being 42 months, if you read those verses, it's always talking about the false Messiah. When it says 1,260 days, he's talking about the things that the Jews need to look at real carefully.
And you can divide that, and it comes up to your Jewish calendar.
That's right. 3.5 years, 42 months, 30 days in each month. It's 1,260 days. The whole tribulation period is 2,520 days from beginning to end. And so God put that in place to teach us something we know. And I think the main thing is what? The perfection of God, what he was going to do. Even remember the seven spirits it talks about in Revelation?
That's right.
That's the perfection of God. And so we have all these beautiful things about the number seven. So we have to keep that in mind.
You're saying these numbers, especially about what you have in your commentary about the end times, on those charts, they're in your commentary, and people would really learn a lot about all of these feasts, these different feasts, and also about the end times. You have a part about the end times, and you have charts. So if somebody would like to have that, it's a complete study.
Amen.
Of the calendar, and also all the feasts of the Lord, and also about Daniel and Revelation and the end times. And those charts are worth, the picture is worth 1,000 words, I say.
It makes it real vivid.
And so, if somebody would like to have that, it's only $25 plus shipping and handling. And it's hours and hours and hours and hours of study that you have and putting this book together.
That's right. And we think about, in the Bible, we have two calendars we've talked about a lot. We have a civil calendar, and we have a spiritual or a prophetic calendar.
Right.
Okay. If you think about that, God didn't change the season, but he changed the number on the month. That's incredible. And so he moved at a certain amount of numbers, so we have something to see prophetically about being born again and the new life that we can have in Christ Jesus.
And people get that confused because say, how can God have two calendars? Well, actually, both calendars are the same number of days.
That's right, absolutely.
So they're both the same number of days, and they both go by the moon for the beginning of the calendar month. It's just that they're... One is like a calendar for like crops. The season doesn't change. Spring is always spring. And so it's a crop calendar. The other one is a prophetic or a biblical calendar, which tells us the prophetic things and the prophetic signs of when things are going to happen.
So all God did was he changed the first month on the civil calendar, which was Tishri, and he made it what? Nisan. And so when he came out of Egypt. So all he did was change the numbers to show us something about the new birth. It's incredible we have all that. We'll put
that
in our heart and think about it.
So
if we don't understand the calendar, we're going to miss out on a lot of things. We need to understand that calendar and what it's all about. And so God's got a purpose for that, to teach us something about the Messiah. And if we can just keep all that in mind, we'll be all right. But we get things so mixed up, and we try to bring in current events even. Some things it's okay, but the Bible tells us what? We should know the end from the beginning. In fact, that guy just quickened me. I'm going to go over, I think it's in Isaiah 46. If you're at home, turn your Bible to Isaiah, I think it's chapter 46. I see if Pastor Dean's right here on his memory.
Know the end from the beginning.
Yeah, listen to this now. Isaiah chapter 46. Look what the
prophet
said.
End.
Look at this here. I'm going to start here in verse 9. He says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there's none else. I am God and there's none like me." Now here's the verse, verse 10. Declaring the end from the beginning. Not the end from the end, okay. The end from the beginning, because he laid it all out. "And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." Isn't that incredible?
That shows you right there that God doesn't change.
He doesn't change.
What he has laid out in the beginning, he says, go back and look at the beginning.
Sure.
And you will begin to start to understand the end.
And then I think about the two appointed times that we have 7 days in those. We have unleavened bread lasts for 7 days, and the Feast of Tabernacles lasts for 7 days. And Pastor Donna taught on this a couple weeks ago on the radio a little bit. There's 7 days in those things. And the key thing of being unleavened bread is those is a picture of the 7,000-year program that God has to restore mankind and the earth back to the way it was in the beginning in Adam's day. And what's the process here? That we would come to the Messiah, and as the days go by, it represents those 1,000-year periods for us to what? To change and to be more like the Messiah. So he's calling us to a new place. And so we can look at just 7 days, but I think the 7 days represent a lot more than that. And with the key thing is it's a period of time showing us that God wants us to grow and mature with Him by spending time with Him, reading His Word, putting it in our heart, and we can become unleavened to the best ability that we have. And that's what God wants us to know. And the interesting thing also is the first day of unleavened bread is called a high Sabbath. It's a time of rest. The last day is called a high Sabbath, a time of rest also. So He's wanting us to understand about those 7 days. Well, then in the latter festivals and tabernacles, He's reminding us again, because it's a picture of the kingdom of God. What is it? It lasts for 7 days, and the 8th day is called what? Simchat Torah, rejoicing in the Torah. Well, who's the Torah? Yeshua is. And so we have 7 days there again. The beginning on that, the first day is a high Sabbath. The 7th day is a high Sabbath. So it's amazing what God's showing us with all of these things about these sevens. The sevens are everywhere. It's amazing when you look at it. Amen, Pastor Donna.
Amen.
He's wanting us to know a lot here. And we should.
Thank you, Lord.
The more we walk with Him, the more we should have Him in our heart. I'm looking up something I would like to just share here, if I can find this real quick in my file cabinet right here, that I think would be very interesting to think about. If I can find this real quick for you. Thank you, Lord.
Thank
Jesus,
you, Lord,
for your holy word.
Well, while you're looking, I'll just mention the phone number here again, Stuart.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd like to have this commentary that Pastor Gene mentions, $25 plus shipping and handling. Or if you'd like to know more about the church, you'd like a calendar.
Mm-hmm.
We do a calendar every single month and it has all the Jewish dates on it,
mm-hmm,
and also the Jewish months on it. So he found it, it looks like. So I'm just going to give the phone number. It's area code 772-285-7007.
Now, another interesting thing here.
This is your God's prophetic
counter. This is my chart I have in the commentary. If you buy the book about God's prophetic counter, it's a circular thing. It shows you all the appointed times,
mm-hmm,
and it shows it on the prophetic counter, which we call, you know, the prophetic one, and also on the civil counter. You might call the other one they call it a sacred calendar. And it shows you all the months and how it fits in with our solar calendar in the middle. It's a circle. It's really an interesting chart that we made. And so if you go from the month of Nisan, we talked about that's when the beginning of the year started after Exodus chapter 12 was in the month of Nisan. So if we count Nisan, we go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, we come to what?
Tishri.
So God's showing us something there about those 7 months. Also, His perfect plan for God. God has a plan for all of us, and it's interesting how He shows this prophetically right here on this calendar. Okay?
They're opposite each other.
That's right. And so it's amazing. And so what was it all about? When He brought them out of Egypt, and that month when they came out, glory be to God, was the month of Nisan.
Mm-hmm.
Or back in that day, it was called Aviv or Abib. All right. And so God spoke to Moses, and He spoke it right there in Exodus chapter 12. He said, this is going to be the beginning of your months, okay? The beginning of your months. And so He changed it from the beginning was Tishri, but He changed it to the month of Nisan on what? The prophetic calendar. But now the civil calendar is still in place. Don't the Jewish people honor the new year in the month of Tishri?
Tishri,
all
yes.
Right? On trumpets, you know, that's Rosh Hashanah. They still honor that. And so both
that's
calendars...
when the year actually changes.
That's right.
When,
that's when
right
it changes.
Now it's 5775.
That's right.
At that time during Tishri, the year now it'll change to 5776.
Won't be too far away.
So it's not too far away.
That's
and
right.
This is when we're going to be seeing, this is in the season, like in the fall. Right now we're in the summer season. We're
that's
in
right.
the wheat harvest. We're in the wheat harvest. You know,
mm-hmm.
Jesus, we could talk about that as well. Jesus said, don't save 4 more months. You know, the month, you don't wait till the end of the 4 months. No, He says now is the time. Now is the time of the
mm-hmm.
harvest. Now is the time you need to, Jesus is calling out people out into the field to join Him in the harvest. But see, when this 5776 comes, then we're going to be talking about we're going into that last blood moon. And will something happen during that time? I don't know. But there's a reason why these blood moons just didn't, by chance, fall on all four feasts of the Lord
in God's
this last
pointed
2 years.
Yeah.
No, they've all... They all have a prophetic reason.
I believe
and
so
Jesus
too.
Has warned us about mm-hmm. the signs in the sky, you know, and this is a sign. This is a sign.
That's right.
And so that's when the new year will start, and that's when I believe the Shemitah year is going to start. and it will be for a whole year. It'll be a Jubilee year this coming up, this seventh one. And so
it'll end on a little 29 of this year, won't it?
Well, right. It will begin right now. It'll begin at it'll begin at the beginning of the next year, which will be 5776. Mm-hmm. So I don't know prophetically what's going to happen the next year, but you know, I think we could be in for some troubled times and some things that could happen. So we need to be ready. And right now it's the time of the season of the wheat harvest.
Sure.
So wheat harvest doesn't just mean you're going to go out and harvest wheat, you know, and store wheat away like Daniel did. No, it means Jesus was talking about souls.
Prophetically,
the wheat, you know, it's ready. It's full grown.
Look
at the tops of the wheat. You know, they're ready for harvest. Go and get out there and harvest. Come out there with me and harvest this wheat. Because Jesus is always with us, even when we're out there in the harvest, harvesting. So the souls are ready. So many thousands of souls could come in during this season, these 4 months that we just started in.
That's right.
This wheat harvest. So, you know, we need to be busy about the Father's work.
Amen.
Because the time is short.
I just want to show you this about this calendar thing so you don't get confused. Exodus chapter 12 says in the second verse, this month, which back in that time was a month called Abib or Aviv, and was changed to Nisan after the captivity, says, this month shall be unto the beginning of months. Now, if you go to Ezekiel chapter 40, this might be a little confusing, but listen to this now. In the 25th year of our captivity, in the beginning of the year, in the 10th day of the month, so what's he showing here? The beginning of the year on the civil calendar is what? Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah. So it says, in the beginning of the year, on the 10th day of the month, when Ezekiel got this word, it was on the Day of Atonement. So this was the beginning of the years, was what? Was always in the fall on Tishri 1.
Well, we're talking about the number.
The number of the year.
The number year, not the prophetic year, but the number year.
So he says, this is the beginning of the year and the 10th day of the month. And so it's not, you know, somebody in the beginning of the year, well, they might say, well, is that on Nisan 1?
Or is that on Tishri, right?
It's
so you have
Tishri.
To be able to understand what he's saying.
And
if you
calendar.
Know when those feasts are, if you know if it's a fall feast or it's a summer feast, then you'll be able to see, because he even tells you what's going on during that time to bring that clarification. So, you know, it's important that we understand these things. That's why we need to know the feasts and when they happen.
That's right.
And also know about them and what they are about. You know, what is Pentecost about? What is the outpouring?
What are they all about?
The Torah. Yeah.
That's right.
You know, and this is the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. So we've just come through that, right?
That's right.
So now we've been empowered with the Holy Ghost to go out into that field. And what was Nisan all about? Well, that was deliverance. The people were delivered from Egypt. And
that's
Yeshua,
right.
That's when he died. And he delivered us
to us, didn't he? That's right.
That's great. So they all relate to each other.
That's
and
right.
We need to know how it all fits in, you know?
You got it. Now I'm going to show you one more time, one other place to think about this time we're talking about, so you might understand this. In Joel chapter 2, we have a verse that troubled me for a lot of years, and without knowing these calendars, you get confused. This is what verse 23 in chapter 2 says. Be glad then, God says through Joel, ye children of Zion, so he's speaking to the Jewish people, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain, what? In the first month. Now this word former rain, if you look at this with the Hebrew, it can also mean a teacher of righteousness. And so he's given us what? Yeshua is a teacher of righteousness, moderately when he came to the earth. Look what's going to happen in the future and how much heavier everything's going to be and the power behind all of it. And he will cause to come down for you, what? The rain again, the former and the latter. He came in the former rain. He's going to come again in the latter rain. And it says, in the first month. Now, it used to always trouble me. How can you have the former rain in the spring and the latter rain in the first month when they're opposite ends of the year? Well, you got to understand the civil and the prophetic calendar. So what was the former rain? It was in what? It was in the spring. It was when Yeshua first came. Well, the latter rain is going to come what? In the fall. And they're going to be on both of them. They're going to be on the first month on those two calendars. Jesus came and had his passion during the Passover season, which was the first month on the, you know, prophetic calendar. And when he comes back at the end, he's going to come back, what? I believe on Tishri 1. He's going to call everybody home at that time. And what's going to happen? It's going to be in the first month on the civil calendar. So Jesus himself has to fulfill both of these calendars. Now, he's fulfilled the one, the former rain, but he's not fulfilled the latter rain. Now, some of you might have a Bible with a footnote down the middle, and they'll tell you the former rain was in the fall and the latter rain was in the spring. Well, the reason they have that wrong is because, see, there's two calendars. All this through here and from Exodus chapter 2 is all referring to what? God's prophetic calendar when it was changed, okay? So the former rain is not in the fall, it is in the spring, and the latter rain, what? Is in the fall, not in the first month. This is incredible. Think about the things that God's
and
given
some us. And some of the Bibles they have, you know, they
confuse you.
There's confusion because they don't really know. And even verse 24, it says the floor shall be full of wheat. Well, that's telling us what? It's after the wheat.
It's got to be after the end
of the wheat harvest, because the wheat harvest doesn't happen in the spring. The barley harvest is in the spring.
Right.
And the wheat harvest, it begins at Pentecost when they weigh the two loaves.
That's what
Pentecost is all about. When they weigh the two loaves, the wheat loaves, and now we're in the summer. So here it says, the floor shall be full of wheat. So that means the wheat harvest has been gathered in.
And also the wine.
And also the
grapes and the figs and all.
Right. It's all been gathered in. So this is all in the fall.
That's right. I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, and the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you when the captivity came and all that. So we have it right here. But if we don't understand the calendar, I used to bug me. I said, how in the world can this happen, the latter and the former, at opposite ends of the year, both being the first month? It's because there's two calendars.
And did Joel understand this? I don't know. Maybe he didn't understand, but he put it down as it was given to him. You know, so he put it down. And so, you know, a lot of times, maybe he didn't understand this. But now that we understand more about the calendars, and I imagine Jewish people would understood it.
Well, they understood this,
yeah. We would understand it.
Yeah.
But because they know when the different harvests are. So, you know, maybe he didn't have the full understanding about the Messiah and how he was going to fulfill all these things, but he put it down, and now we can see. And so what does God want us to do? He wants us to seek, and he wants to reveal these mysteries. And a lot of these mysteries are being revealed in now that we're in the last days.
That's right.
So that's why we should seek and seek to know the truth. And, you know, and ask, and we have the Holy Ghost. See, we have the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is going to reveal things to us.
That's right.
He's a revealer of the secrets and the mysteries of God. So that's why it's important that we have the Holy Ghost.
You got it.
Amen. Praise God.
So we see this about the seven. That's why God wants us to honor the Sabbath. It's a pattern of the rest that we're going to have one day in the future for 1,000 years, the seventh millennial that will come. And so he wants us to understand all this and how it all fits in. These charts in my book, I mean, you'll see everything that God has in the scriptures all line up to the day, not approximately, but to the day according to God's appointed times. And so what he's done with Israel, well, the same thing, the same time frame will happen with us. It's just ours is going to happen 7 years. Here we go. 7 years prior to what he's going to do with Israel.
Incredible. You know, even the Jewish calendar nowadays, a modern-day Jewish calendar isn't the same as the Jewish calendar in the Bible.
That's right.
Because one month it might have 29 days, one month it might have 30 days. And so they have to kind of balance it out so it fits the seasons. So, you know, even that calendar isn't the same as what God created in the very beginning.
That's right. See, our solar calendar has 365, what, 0.25 days. The Jewish calendar has, what, 360 days, okay? So now the calendar they have in most of the synagogues today has 354 days.
Well, right.
Where's those 6 days? Because 6 months out of the year, they only have 29 days. So it's messed up the calendar.
Right. And well, how did it get messed up? I don't know.
Our
accuracy.
Knowing when it happens.
And maybe even when the sun, you know, when the sun stood still, right?
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know. Maybe things happen in the world. You know, all things that happen. There's even been changes in the earth because of earthquakes and things like that.
But they know today technically then how many days, hours, minutes, and seconds it is to the new moon. They didn't know that back in Jesus' day. They sent heralds out on the mountains to determine when the new moon came. They were looking for that first little sliver of the moon. So that's why they honored 2 days. That's why it says that Jesus is going to come back one day.
One or two days.
You won't know what
day
or
hour.
Within a 48-hour period, he's going to come back for the ecclesia, the church, Jew and Gentile, the Messiah. And so we've got a little misnomer on that, because when the Jews heard that, you won't know the day or hour, their ears perked up because they say, hey, he's looking for a new moon.
New moon. He's going to come back.
And there's
on
only
a new
one
moon.
Appointed time that comes on a new moon, and it's called trumpets. which they call Rosh Hashanah because it's the beginning of the year.
So Rosh Hashanah is the only feast in all the seven feasts.
It comes on a new moon.
That's
it.
So that's key right there.
Sure is. It's telling you something. And so we just have to dig in and look and see what God's got in this book.
Wow.
And there's so much more going to be revealed in the days ahead. So, honored to be here with you. And
yes,
we forgot to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey Walks when we came on, our apostle and prophet on Andros Island. If you're listening today, we just ask God to bless you, and you're coming in, you're going out, and that you're going to get all the funds to come in and finish the building that you're building over there for the temple of God on Andros Island.
And if anybody likes to offer something, because they need blocks and steel and concrete, and
that's right.
So the building can start to go up. I think they probably have
got a lot now,
maybe more than half of what they need. But you got to get it all in there.
That's right.
And then it starts to come together.
And I don't want to forget to say hello to my good friend Harley. I hope you're listening today. We didn't mention it up front, but we hope you were listening with all
and
of us.
All of you others that
and
are
all
out
you
there
others
listening.
As well.
Amen.
I guess you can tell we get excited on this program about the things that God has planned for us. And we don't need to be deceived and all this stuff that we're hearing about. Just take the Word of God and put it in place. And Paul promised us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that we have not been appointed to the wrath of God. Don't we believe that? When he talked about the resurrection there and the catching away. At the end of that, he says, comfort yourselves with these words. Well, if we were going to go through all this mess, I would have thought he would have said something about what we need to do. Like Jesus told the Jews, run to the mountains when that time comes. Get out of that place because it's going to be destroyed. Run. Well, he didn't tell us anything. He said, just comfort yourself with these words that we're going to be what? Taken out of here. The
Amen.
Dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain in Christ shall be what? Not raptured. We'll be caught off the earth to be with him forever. We'll join those that were already taken out of their graves. It's going to be almost instantaneous. Boom, boom,
That's
boom.
Right.
And we'll be there with him forever.
Praise God.
So, Lord, we love you very much, and we're honored to be on this
we
program.
Do.
So we trust all of you. We're blessed what you heard today. As we mentioned up front, you can get an audio tape or a CD of this if you like. All we ask for is a love offering. And you can mail it to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida. And our zip is 34995. We might mention the commentary. The book, again, is $25.
Amen. Well, this is Pastor Gina Donna Hilton. We're blessed to be with you every Saturday, Lord willing, at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. You can go back and listen to this broadcast again if you want to go to WCNO.com and just look for Saturday, Pastor Gene Hilton, Raising the Standard at 12 noon. So there's many others that you can listen to as well. And we have services here in Stuart, Florida. We have Sunday morning. We meet with the Lord on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And then also on Friday at 7 p.m. And then today, this afternoon at 4 o'clock, we will meet together. And after we have our meeting, we will have dinner together and close the Shabbat. So we just bless you all. And I want to give the telephone number again in case you'd like to get us a call. It's area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
I'm going to have a surprise for you tomorrow if you come. Or I should say today, I'm thinking about tomorrow. If you come at 4 o'clock, I got a couple of DVDs that I think will be very interesting. It's a book that's been around for years and years. And in the Jewish understanding, it's the first book ever written before Genesis or anything else was written. Okay? So come and you're going to learn some things maybe you never knew. It comes out of the book called Enoch. Enoch was caught off the earth because he walked with God and he was not. And so that's what we're going to show part of that. It's going to take a couple weeks, but you'll be blessed with what you see. The word about Enoch is mentioned in the New Testament as well, and the Jews honored it back then. I think they still do today. So as we close here, we tell you, look up, because your redemption draws nigh. What do we say, Pastor?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of Prophecy.